broken but glorious. Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by the Grapple Arcade's Mark Fox.
How you doing, man? All right?
I'm brilliant, thank you. How's things at the Grapple Arcade?
You know, fine, well, because we've joined forces, so let's not pretend we don't know anymore. We are now, for everybody who doesn't know, we've announced it on Twitter and whatnot, but we've joined Grapple Arcade, Turn Chuckle and Broken But Glorious together under the banner of the BBG Network. So that is BBGW Network, which is on Twitter, so at BBGW Network, and we'll be announcing some really, really cool shit coming up in the very near future.
Yeah, some very exciting stuff. And we're also delighted to be joined by two of the brightest stars in BritRest. We've got Benji.
All right.
Nice.
And Freddy Breck.
Now then. How's it going, man?
Aye, all good.
Buzzing. Good lad. I'm chuffed to have these two on, Chris, like, because it's a bit different. For me, when I do some of the events up here, these two are always at the events because it's usually like after parties that we run in Newcastle.
Yes.
And these two are there, and we'll go into that, but there's always a lot of good fun and crack. So it's fun. It feels like we've got a couple of maras on.
Yeah, I've enjoyed your banter in the group about the tournaments you do.
Oh, aye. That's where it gets a bit heated, that, like.
Yeah, just when it comes to Street Fighter 2, especially when Ben's resetting Super Nintendo.
Yeah, don't bring that up.
terrible form.
I'd say tonight we'll be discussing fictional characters that will be good wrestlers or gimmicks, but first we can't really have you two on without discussing the closure of Defiant Wrestling. So firstly, how did you both get involved with Defiant Wrestling?
With Defiant Wrestling?
Yes.
So for me, I wrestled there, was 2018 in Sheffield. I wrestled Rory Coyle.
Wow.
At the Sheffield show there, which was sort of like a dark segment or a dark match that was filmed just for the live crowd and never actually got shown on the YouTube channel or anything like that. It was before they brought back the loaded tables.
Yeah.
And that was towards the end of last year. And then at the start of this year, Defiant announced the loaded tables were coming back. I went to one or two of the shows, just like sort of helping out, showing my face kind of thing. Pitched the idea of the Simon Miller assistant GM kind of thing, and then managed to get myself on. But I think the connections originally came through Rampage Brown and for me, Rory as well. I think those guys put a good word in for me.
Yeah, to say, Adam, you're mostly remembered for your backstage segments with Simon Miller as the assistant to the assistant or the general manager.
Yeah, so, the assistant to the assistant.
So working with Simon and Prince Amin, that must have been a lot of fun. So.
Oh, yeah, it was really good. Like you say, I think most people watching Defiant will probably see me as, or remember me as the backstage guy.
Yeah.
I think that's partly because I think after the first taping I did, I tore my bicep, so I was out
I was going to ask if you were injured, and that's why you're doing all the backstage stuff.
Yeah, so I was out of wrestling. So obviously the gimmick, the initial idea to bring me in was as the assistant to the assistant, mm-hmm. which was a bit of an idea that came up from the office.
Yeah, American office.
Yeah, the American office. Which one as well, but I prefer the American one.
Likewise.
But the assistant to the assistant sort of came from that. Actually spoke to Rory about that as well. He helped me come up with that angle, and then that's how I got in. But after my first lot of tapings, which was a match against John Klinger, Bad Bones, I wrestled in the first tapings against him. Then a couple of weeks later, I tore my bicep, and I wasn't wrestling for like 11 or 12 weeks.
Wow.
So I was quite lucky that the spot that I had on the show allowed me to do the backstage stuff so I could still be part of the program.
And so you've got a bodybuilding background. Was the bodybuilding, were you a bodybuilder first and then you got into wrestling, or was it just?
No, so I've been a fan of wrestling. I probably got into it when I was like 7 years old, so about 1997. Before that, though, I grew up in a house with, you know, two older brothers. So from the age of earliest memories, wrestling's always been on.
Oh, wow.
When I was a kid in the house, one of my brothers was, when he was younger, he's quite a bit older than me, but when he was younger, like a teenager, he was quite into wrestling. So I grew up with like early WWF on Sky Sports, but I really got into it about 97. And then the Warzone came out on Warzone game came out on PS1, Attitude.
Yeah.
That helped me get into it a little bit more, and I just never grew out of it. Started going to the gym when I was a teenager because of wrestling. You know, looking at guys like, I remember when I was a kid, looking at guys like Triple H, Chris Benoit, those were physiques that, you know, looked good.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was a teenager, I started going to the gym to get in better shape, to look like a wrestler. And I sort of fell into bodybuilding, the more I read into weightlifting, training, dieting. That's how I came across bodybuilding, and that's how I got into that.
Did you find it came naturally, Shreddy, like in terms of the bodybuilding side of things? I know a few people that have tried to get into it, they love the idea of it. I won't pretend it's not me. Yes, me. Try to get into it. And it just didn't work the way I wanted it to, if that makes any sense. And you know what I mean? It didn't come naturally. I wanted to do it, but it just didn't come naturally. Yeah. Did it for you?
I think the first couple of years, I thought I knew what I was doing, and I thought I was doing everything right. But I look back now, and I was absolutely clueless. I think that's what you hear a lot of guys say, though, when they first start out in the gym. You might be super strict, and you know, you train 5 or 6 days a week, and you think you're being dead strict with your diet. But you look back and you think, actually, I was doing everything wrong, whether I was training too much, or I was eating the wrong amounts of foods, or the wrong kinds of foods, or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, it was when I was maybe 18 or 19, is when I sort of took me training a bit more serious, and that I got really strict with my diet. But then when I was 22, is when I did my first bodybuilding show, and pretty much from then, I've always been, I'd say, fairly clued up and have a rough idea of what I'm doing when it comes to getting like, into bodybuilding shape for a show and things like that. But I think I always just didn't, there was something about it. I never enjoyed PE or sports when I was a kid in school.
No.
But there's something about weightlifting and just being in the gym and doing that kind of activity I just enjoyed, and it's just, I always joke and I say, oh, Shreddy ain't no gimmick, it's a lifestyle. But for me, the gym stuff is just part of my life. It's not like a chore, or it's not a hobby. It's just part of me day to day, or me week to week kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and where did the Shreddy Breck name come from?
So the Shreddy Breck stuff started when I did my youth. So this was long before I actually started training and got at wrestling. The Shreddy Breck stuff just came because I was setting up a YouTube channel. I remember one of my old jobs, one of my mates, would always ask me advice about the gym and diet and things like that. And he'd ask me stuff. And then a couple of weeks later, he would say, oh, I've been watching so-and-so on YouTube and they said to do this. And I'd be like, oh, I told you to do that weeks ago. And because I would never really watch any YouTube, like fitness channels or anything like that. So because my mate was asking me all these questions, I thought, oh, there's obviously people out there who want to listen to a kind of thing. Because I've always been a fan of wrestling, I thought, oh, right, I'll start doing a YouTube channel. But I'll do it as if I'm like a character kind of thing. So that's where the Shreddy Breck came from. The name itself sort of came from porridge. It was like genuinely one of my favourite foods. used to like eating ready breck.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, bodybuilding, weightlifting, so getting shredded. And I just sort of combined the two, and that's how I came up with the Shreddy Breck.
Simple as that. Brilliant, man.
Yeah. And then because I was doing my YouTube videos and things like that, I sort of had this, like, not obviously not a wrestling character, but it was a bit of a persona.
Mm-hmm.
So coming into wrestling, a couple of guys at training found some of the YouTube videos I did, and then I just thought that's a natural fit just to keep going with the Shreddy idea.
Brilliant.
What about you, Ben? How did you get involved with Defiant?
So I was working 3CW shows, and one of the guys who works at 3CW also works at Defiant, I think. I got it through that, but I got contacted just to do a couple of, like, one show, and they were bringing in a bunch of new guys just to work on the loaded tapings. So, like, the idea was you'd come in and you'd work with some of their stars and hopefully become something. So it was me, Darice, Visage, Omari, a bunch of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
We all got brought in at the same time.
Was that at the O2?
Yeah, it was the O2. It was the first show that I was on, yeah.
I thought it was, yeah. Was that the show where you jumped the barricade and ran through, and then when you tried to jump over the other side of the barricade, it nearly all collapsed?
That was the second one.
I saw that one. I was through the barricade.
Yeah, I tried to jump in, it just went.
it was nearly game over, that one. Like,
yeah, I don't think it was, yeah.
Recovered
I
well.
I remember jumping over it, and it, like, moving, and I was like, oh, shit.
Beauty.
Yeah,
so that was your second one. Sorry, Chris, go on, mate.
I was going to say that you won the Defiance Wrestling Magnificent Seven briefcase. You pinned MJF, who's one of my favourite wrestlers. Did you expect for things to go so quickly, the success you got in Defiance? So.
Honestly, they asked me to come and do, like I said, that one show, and then said, like, we'll see where it goes from there. And
yeah.
the crowd made it, because if you watch those first matches... I think the first one I wrestled Kirby, the one that actually airs on YouTube, the first one I wrestled Kirby,
yeah.
And it was him on the microphone just beating me up, and the crowd are going wild, as if, you know, as if I'm doing stuff, but I'm literally just getting beat up by Kirby. And the second one was against the SEC, that was in the same night, the same tapings, and we got a bit more in there, but it was like the same thing, and the crowd again were going wild, so I think... They seen that and were like, oh, we need to bring this guy back. But it was totally the crowd reaction. It was nothing I did. It was the crowd going wild. So I think they thought, we need to bring this guy back.
I was there for that. I was there for both of them. And it was absolutely monstrous, mate. It was like, you know, it was one of the loudest parts of the night, without a shadow of a doubt, like, in terms of how much they were into it.
I still have no idea.
And the long night, mate. The long nights, those, you know, those tapings for the crowd, because a lot there weren't that many seats at the O2, and they were about 6 hour long tapings, if I remember properly. It was cracking. But yeah,
it was like, that's right. Why the second match, when they were still up, I was like, God, these guys have been here for like 2.5 hours and they're still going crazy.
Yeah. How did you get into it then, Benj? Like, how did you start off?
Oh, like Shreddy, I was a wrestling fan since I was a kid, so I can't remember when I didn't watch wrestling. Like, I remember having, like, the Ultimate Warrior bath salts. Like, that was a thing, bath salts for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ultimate bath time.
Exactly. So I remember always watching wrestling, and some of my earliest memories are from wrestling, and my dad was a wrestling fan. But he liked the old school British wrestling, so I remember being in my front garden, and my dad had me in the gym break special for the neighbours to see, you know. And I got into it like a long time ago, like early 2000s when I was a teenager. I went to a school in Newcastle where it was WZW, and there wasn't many wrestling schools in the UK back then. It was a completely different scene. There was only about like 5 wrestling promotions or something. In the old UK, there wasn't much at all. It was like when Irish wrestling was around, and FWA.
Yeah.
Anyway, I trained there when I was like 15, for about a year and a half. You're asking now. I don't know. It was early 2000s. I was only, say, 15, so it must be like 2002, 2003.
Was that Barry Ahmed at the time, was that, who ran WZW back then?
It was just before Barry Ahmed took
over. Before Barry, right, okay.
Yes.
Cool, man.
But, so it was Gary Graham. He was the original owner, and it was my trainers at the time were Spitfire and Iceman.
Brilliant.
Yeah, the hardcore icon Iceman, and another guy called Carl Turner, I believe. And I looked like a child. I was 15, and I was...
You still don't look like a child?
I mean, that is factual, but I look even more like a child, if you can believe that. And everyone told me, you can't be a wrestler, you're 5'0". You've got no chance. And this was when I was just about to go to college. So I was there for like a year and a half, and I was just about to start college, and everyone was like, give it up. And like a fool, I listened. I give it up. And then about 9 years later, I found another school and begin training again, because it was like, I don't want to get to like 40 and think what could have happened.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I took it up again at the age of 27.
Wow.
That's class. That's proper sort of like, it's interesting how many wrestlers do say that they were told that they might as well quit. There's nothing for them because they're too small, and then they overcome the odds
Well, one of my friends said to me, "You'll never be a wrestler." At the time, he's like, "You will never be a wrestler."
Who is that, Shreddy?
He says that now.
So you did become made a bit of history in Defiant by becoming the last ever tag team champions with Visage.
Yeah.
So did you step into Tuckshaw following Jack Smith's injury? Have I got my timelines right?
Well, the whole thing with me and Visage was it was sort of playing out all along.
Yeah.
By accident, in a way. Like, I was always involved with Visage, and Visage was always involved in my stuff. And as if Visage was my friend in all the angles, if you look at them. So it was just, I think, because they beat me and Conor Renshaw on one of the loaded tapings. I think they were meant to get a tag team title shot anyway.
Yeah.
But obviously, with Sexsmith retiring, then I think it was just naturally like, well, you know, they're a tag team anyway. They're friends on screen. We may as well make them a tag team. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened there.
Yeah, I'm absolutely guessing. I never got to see Jack Sesmith live. It's a huge loss to the business.
It's really unfortunate because he was one of the nicest people I've ever met, like in wrestling. He was, and I got to wrestle him twice.
Yeah.
And both times were fantastic. Like, well, the second tag match we had is one of my favourite tag matches I've had. I know, I think it was only about 5 minutes or something, but it was just something I came back from and was like, oh yeah, I really enjoyed that. And I don't get that much.
And now you've got your names out there, are there any promotions you want to work for that you haven't yet?
For me, there's tons. The UK is still, like, it's still massive, and they've still got loads of promotions I haven't worked for. And I got to work for Progress this year, but stuff like ICW, I haven't worked there. I haven't worked for, there's a bunch down south, like Attack.
Yes.
And even Breed. And BWR, I still haven't been to those places. So, you know, still tons I haven't done.
How about you, Shred?
It's pretty much any show, like, any show that, you know, draws a crowd, and any show that is putting on matches is always good to work. Like Ben just mentioned there, that I like to work for. You've got the bigger ones like ICW, Ben, and a couple of the lads from the Northeast work the Progress pre-show earlier in the year, so if I could get an opportunity like that, you know, that'd be great.
Amazing, yeah.
But there's absolutely loads of shows though. BWR's one, just like Ben mentioned. You've got Rev Pro, you know, further down south from where we are, where obviously the Northeast. There's loads of shows like the Northwest kind of area, and even further south from there. You've got shows in Scotland like Discovery Wrestling. There's just, you know, any show that I've not been on.
Yeah,
is a show that I want to work on, pretty much.
Yeah, I know. It's an interesting thing at the moment, because it is a bit humorous and funny when there's been a few people who can't help themselves but speak out loud online about the death of Brit wrestling.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there any, being in the business, is there any credibility to the Brit wrestler's dead meme?
So I'm going to say, from my perspective, I didn't know, because even though I do have a Twitter, and I do post on Twitter, I don't really use it a great deal in terms of, like, browsing stuff.
No.
Yeah. So, whenever stuff goes on Twitter, I normally find out about it through Ben. He'll screenshot and send me what's going on, or one of my friends in wrestling will tell me, or I'll get a screenshot about something, and that's how I find out what's going on Twitter, so...
I'm a massive wrestling nerd, though, so literally there's nothing that can happen that I won't know about.
I love the idea that one of Shreddy's mates just texts him, saying, "Hey, Shreddy, Brit Rest is dead."
Yeah. Oh, Shreddy, what is broken?
So on the topic of that, actually, and this is a true story, okay, I would say that I find out 70 or 75% of the matches that I'm booked for through Ben by him screenshotting me a match graphic from a Facebook or a Twitter profile, and that's how I find out who I'm wrestling.
I'm a nerd.
I don't know how he does it, but I think Ben must live on Twitter or have Facebook constantly open or something, because he finds out stuff probably before these promotions even post it. I think Ben
before it's been booked.
Just a wrestling fan, I like to know what's going on. You know what I mean?
I find out when I'm booked, where I'm booked. I find out who actually went on the shows through Ben.
It's like one of those things where Ben starts telling people, and then the promotion's cotton on and go, oh shit, there's a bit of a reaction now, we might as well book it then.
Yeah. But no, going back to your question about this, the Brit Wrestler Dead thing, I'll be honest, I don't really know what's going on with that with Twitter. There's obviously still shows, you know, going on. A couple of promotions have closed down and are not running anymore, so there's some promotions that aren't running, there's promotions that have run for years and are continuing to do so. So it's probably, you know, just one of them things where you have your quiet periods, your boom periods. So for me, it's just, you know, business as usual, trying to get bookings, just as usual.
That's it, man. I mean, me and Chris and some of the guests who were on the last couple of the last shows that we've had, we were chatting about this. Obviously, we discussed Defiant, we've discussed them tonight. We had a chat, we both know the lads that were at Chaos. I think they were on Chris's first show with Broken But Glorious.
Dave Mercer was the first person to say, I could interview.
That's it. So. And they were one of the first, I mentioned at the time, they were one of the first promotions to give me some free footage to show the Grapple Arcade Nights on the cinema screens that weren't on our first ever show. There was only three promotions that responded out of 30-odd. And one of them was Chaos, one of them was Tetsujin, and the other one was North. And due to that, you know, it helped me to put my first ever Daft Night on, you know what I mean? And then did you hear about Jim Smallman as well stepping aside, and there's other rumours about that. I personally, as a fan, like, I can't help but think it's bollocks about the idea definitely. That Brit Rest is dead and all that. I think it's just that I think it's been absolutely massive, like this insane wave of amazing wrestling and so much of it for the last couple of years, especially in the UK, that maybe now it's just sort of filtering out a little bit, you know what I mean? It's just getting to that point where it's starting to find its rhythm rather than just this massive, huge wave. Does that make sense a bit? Like, from a fan's perspective. From a fan's perspective, at least, anyway. I think it's just sort of settling. The ones who are signing with WWE or whatever they're doing are doing that. The ones that aren't are just finding their feet after WWE is making themselves known. And it's just, I fucking love everything that's going on from a fan's point of view.
I see it. Is the guys that sign with WWE, that's fantastic for them.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
That's a dream for most of those guys and girls, like a huge dream, and it's came true, and it's left a lot of spaces open for a lot of talented people. Mm-hmm. Like, I see people in shows that I'm on, I try and watch the entire show if I can, and there's still loads of talent out there. Like, unseen amounts of talent, I haven't had the opportunity before to get out there and do it, and now they do. You look at like the next North card and the previous North card, like those cards were stacked.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be.
I definitely agree with Ben on that one. I definitely agree with Ben there. So, if you look back at maybe he's Defiant, even before Defiant became Defiant, when they were What Culture, they were putting on these big, massive mega shows and having all the big names from the Indies coming on. As some of those guys got filtered out, and then as obviously some of the British guys signed with WWE for the tournament, I think some restrictions got put on where they could work. Mm-hmm. That meant that as guys in the British scene were then getting signed by NXT UK or WWE, that meant that then, you know, there was a crop of guys in British wrestling that could then fill those spots, so spots opened up for them. So it's almost like a filtering process kind of thing, and then I think, like Ben mentioned earlier, at the start of this year, Defiant brought in quite a lot of guys for the loaded tapings. That's probably like opportunities that those guys might not have had 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. But the opportunities come up, like what Ben's just mentioned there again with North. You see a lot of guys that have been on North who are now signed with WWE and with NXT UK. Some of them are still working at North. Some of them aren't anymore, but then that creates opportunities for, you know, other guys to step up and opportunities for other guys to get seen.
Absolutely, and I suppose as you both have mentioned it, and we've talked about, name dropped them a couple of times now, it would be rude not to discuss the crack that you and the matches and the shows that you're involved with North Wrestling as well. Do you want to have both of you have a bit of a natter about how you got involved with North and with Andrew and you know, how it's been, where he's headed next with North, because obviously, like as you say, there's at least one massive, really interesting show coming up quite soon.
Yeah.
It's been all over Twitter, all over Facebook. So, yeah, do you want to tell us a bit about yourselves and North?
Yeah, so for me, North is the first show, really, that took a chance on me. it came through connections from training. So training with Ron Page Brown, some of the guys that were on there, Rory Coyle being, I think, the main advocate for me, and his tag team partner at the time as well, who doesn't actually wrestle anymore. Mm-hmm. But they were in. They'd been wrestling on a couple of North shows, I think. I went to a couple of shows, Show Me Face, Help Out, met Andrew, and pitched the idea for this, like the Shreddy character. And that it just went from there, really. And Andrew took like what I consider a massive risk and a massive chance on me, because I was new to wrestling, fairly new to training, and just gave me a platform to create some like videos, put some promos out there. And it seemed to do pretty well. And I think every show since the first one I've been on, which might have been the fourth North show, I could be wrong, but I think it was like the fourth one.
Right.
I've been on every North show since, in some capacity, when I was injured.
I know, I've seen you there plenty, obviously, over the years, but it's great to see. I mean, and obviously, as we've alluded to a little bit there as well, in terms of what's being posted, you've got an interesting match coming up as well, Shred.
Yeah, so it's me and Primate in a rematch from last show.
Yeah.
Which I'm looking forward to. The last one was my first singles match back since my injury.
Absolutely.
It was the, you know, great match. So getting to do that again with the Primate on September 14th. Ben sort of had a bit of involvement in that match as well, which is quite interesting, because when we both got brought into North, we were sort of introduced in like a bit of an angle together kind of thing, and things just went from there.
Interesting.
Yeah, you had one previous to me though, didn't you, with the Aaron Jacobs thing, where I think you dragged him off the ring.
Yeah, so that was the first show where we, so basically for those who maybe are new to North or never seen it or whatever, the way that I got started at North, the initial appearance was like as security, and then things just led from there, and yeah, it led on to a bit of a programme with Benji and the Land of Gentry.
Fantastic. I know, it's an interesting one, watching Benji as part of that illustrious team, shall we call them. Do you want to have a bit of a chat yourself, Benji, about yourself and North and the Gentry and whatnot?
Yeah, so that was starting off. Andrew messaged me and Zero Knox and just said, we need two guys who can be Spike's pals, mm-hmm, for a show. And I was like, all right, but will this affect any bookings going forward? Because I couldn't see myself being this Tory boy, I guess. I was like, all right, I'll give it my best shot. And yeah, we went and done that, and he apparently really liked it, so he ran with the idea. And I think since then we've actually separate ourselves from Spike and made the Land of Gentry our own thing, where, you know, it's its own thing. But yeah, like Trudy said, we started off as like wrestling each other. So it was like going in there and wrestling my pals on the first couple of shows. But yeah, it was really interesting, because at 3CW at the time, I was at 3CW and I was working as the bucket boy. And I remember reading like three reviews for North, like one after another. I found this website that reviewed North, and it took the reviewer, I think it took them three shows to cotton on that it was the same person, that the bucket boy at North and the Tory boy at North, were the same person. So I was quite happy with that.
Is it not your twin brother?
Not the same name.
The same name and everything. Brilliant, man. Over to you, Chris.
If you want to find out more information about the Pivot Show for North Wrestling, please look in the description below this interview. But for fictional characters who will make good wrestlers, I just want to say we have a partnership with Wrestling Resurgence, a great promotion based out of Leicester. They have a big show this Saturday, 31st of August, a double main event. Resurgence champion Gene Money defends his title against Chris Brooks. And then the main event is a Iron Woman match between Kanji and Charlie Evans. We released an interview with Kanji last Friday, so please check that out on our website.
Great interview as well, though.
Oh, she was so lovely. So
yeah,
it was really fun to talk to her. So you find it on our website, brokenbookglorious.com. And if you want to get 15% off Wrestling Resurgence merchandise, tickets for the upcoming shows, use the promo code BROKEN15.
The link will be in the description below this interview show.
Hi, this is the Asian sensation Kanji, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
Should we crack on with the illustrious question that we put to the listeners about, what was it again? How did we word it again? We said something along the lines of, who would make a great wrestling character who has never been a wrestling character? And it can be anything, like a TV character, a movies character, a games character, a comic book character, whomever it is, who would cross over well into the wrestling world.
Yes.
And we've had some pretty interesting responses. Some of them you can kind of understand and you can see where they're going with that. Some of them, yeah, all right, fair enough. So I'll start off. What I'll do is, before we talk about ours, I'll go through some of the responses that we had, and I sort of filtered them down a bit.
Yeah.
So I'll start with a listener called Dykesy. He responded and said Bane. I think it's a fairly good shout, that one, in terms
yes.
of
Cannot
I know, it's a little bit like, I think the idea would be you'd have to take people's superpowers away.
Was it the recent Bane, or was it Batman and Robin Bane?
I think it's more the Batman and Robin Bane. I don't know, though, to be honest with you. Who knows? But I mean, if it was the more recent one, he's just locked up in a hole.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But Bane's been thrown out there. Stevie Aaron. Oh, but before we mention Stevie Aaron's answer, Stevie Aaron wanted to pass a message on to you two lads that he'll knack you both in Street Fighter 2 any night of the week. So just sort of put that one out there.
We'll see. Yeah.
You tell that Stevie Aaron, right, to get his SNES and bring it round my house, and I'll show him the thing in Street Fighter 2.
He doesn't even say the real Street Fighter he plays, Rainbow, or the modern version.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Well, Stevie is going to be at the next couple of Grapple Arcade events, so it's one of those things, lads. I think we're going to have some kind of wrestling tournament. In fact, you mentioned it, Shreddy, yourself. You said out loud online, when is the next? When is Grapple Arcade going to sort out a Street Fighter 2 tournament?
What we need is a North Post Show Street Fighter 2 Grapple Arcade tournament. That's what we need.
We do indeed. I completely, fully agree.
So you've got Marvel versus Capcom, Street Fighter versus X-Men. Now we've got North Post and Grapple Arcade. It's the perfect Street Fighter and North Wrestling. It's the absolute perfect crossover.
We'll get on the phone to Andrew. We'll get it sorted.
Good.
We'll get it done.
If you suppose is what he's been with booking me this year, you might be in for a bit. So don't hold your breath.
I'll ask somebody else to phone him.
Yeah.
So yeah, Stevie said Venga from the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon. As a baddie class, but I mean, again, is he going to come to the ring on a flying horse or what?
Does he ever get off his flying horse?
I watched the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon. I think it must have been a bit before my time.
Right. He's a bit of a baddie, put it that way. Yeah, a bit of a baddie that flies. Gab South said Mrs. Trunchbull from Matilda. I can see that. I think that'll be a class character. Lachim says, is it Negan from Walking Dead? Couldn't care less, to be honest.
Negan.
See, there you go. Negan
would be an amazing character. He'd be an amazing wrestler.
Would it? I don't watch Walking Dead, man. I've got no idea.
He's so cool.
Down to his estimations here. I only watch wrestling.
He's so cool, and he has a baseball bat. That he's caught. What's he called?
Sorry.
Yeah. He's got a baseball bat. And he gives it a name, but I can't think what it is. I haven't seen.
Right. Is it Abigail or something like that?
No.
Or just something else. That's wrestling again, isn't it? Claire says He-Man.
Oh, yes.
I think. Well, you know, we've got Shreddy. Dan Davidson said Malcolm from Game of Thrones.
Oh yes, 6'9" Icelandic strongman.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to try and pronounce his real name.
Mikey B said Sweet Shop Sandra. She's a mentalist from down the street. Right. Okay. Right. All right. Views from the top rope said Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
I think that'd be great. A guy wrestling. Did you see that the Visible Man vs. Invisible Stan match recently?
I've heard about it.
Yeah, the referee puts magic glasses on and they've got.
The referee
on.
Who's put magic glasses on and he's refereeing against.
What was that? An Invisible Man versus a what?
Invisible Stan.
Oh, wow.
But they've tricked out all the rings.
It's just the referee. It's amazing. Yeah. The referee, they've put gimmicks everywhere, and the referee is basically calling a match between two invisible wrestlers. It's fucking brilliant. It's really, really good.
I think that would work with a wrestler thinking he's wrestling somebody, but he's not.
Yeah, it would. So. Well, Jim Cornette probably absolutely loved it, you can imagine. Yeah. Without further ado, anyway, there was a few of some of the listeners online. I'll just quickly chuck mine out there. I've said Anton from No Country for Old Men. So, if you've ever seen the film No Country for Old Men, there's a bloke who walks around. He's a bit of a silent, deadly assassin. He's walking around with a sort of, I think it's a pneumatic sort of drill, nail gun or something like that.
But, I thought it was a shotgun.
No, it's like he's got this pack on his back that shoots stuff out at high, but like it's a sort of like a generator on his back that shoots. I can't remember what he shoots out of it, but it's like high pressure. It possibly is air, isn't it? It's probably just air.
It's like things that kill cows with.
yeah, that kind of thing, yeah. But his character in it anyway, I absolutely love it, man. It's one of those things where it's just incredibly freaky and it just tickles you in the right way, if you know what I mean. It's a class character. I think that would be a brilliant sort of just silent, deadly kind of fellow. Just looks just like an evil bastard, just from the way he just grins at you. But there, that was my shout. Chris, who was yours?
I'm going to go for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right, alright.
I think she'll have great combat experience from killing all the vampires. I think she'll prove to be a force in the WWE Divas division. Should even give Ronda Rousey a run for her money.
She getting signed up to WWE straight away, is she?
Well, she'll have to. Vince would love it.
Okay.
And yeah,
she would. One of them. Exactly, yeah. What about yourself, lad?
Negan's bass is called Lucille, but it just popped
into my head. Lucille, right.
It just popped into my head.
So what about you? What about yourself, Benj? Who do you want to go for, mate?
The Mask.
Yes.
Class.
See? How good would he be?
That would actually be mint.
It would be awesome, wouldn't it? He'd be able to do that little whirlwind thing he does. He's got all the weapons with him, so he could be a deathmatch icon.
Yes,
brilliant. And shoot them all out of his mouth as he's attack.
Yeah, I think the Mask, definite champion there, isn't he?
Has anybody ever done that? Has anybody ever sort of performed as the Mask? Because you get certain promotions where they have. Because me and Chris were talking about doing another show where we find people like characters from TV and movies where wrestlers have been them. If you know what I mean, like in a ring where people have dressed up as Beetlejuice and things like that as their gimmick.
Did you nearly say performance artist there?
I nearly said performance artist, didn't I?
You're not allowed to say that now, are you?
No, I'm not. No, what's the word that we're allowed to say?
Well, I just call them wrestlers. Just wrestlers.
We should not call you a wrestler. Right. I don't know if we're allowed to call you that either.
There is a promotion in Las Vegas, I think, called the cosplay promotion, where they just come in and dress as characters.
I bet, again, Jim Cornette fucking loves that. he loves it.
The thing is, we're all pro wrestlers, but the biggest company in the world doesn't have a professional wrestling school. They have a performance centre.
Yeah.
I mean, that says it all, doesn't it?
They're entertainers, man.
Children's entertainers.
That's it. It's it. You just need a license for that shit. I think the Mask's a class shout, man. I really do. It's funny, it did come to my head, and I did wonder if anybody's ever performed as the Mask in the ring before.
If nobody has, then that's my shout. I'm doing that. Nobody else.
You've got it.
I'm calling it now.
Just another gimmick for Benji.
Yeah, add that on the pile.
What about yourself and Shred?
Good cartoon, well, good anime character, perfect fit for wrestling. Dragon Ball Z, Hercule, a.k.a. Mr. Satan. If anybody's familiar with Dragon Ball Z, then you'll know exactly why I'm saying him.
Right, okay. Is there particular things that stand out from your point of view, apart from, obviously, special moves and shit?
So Hercule, or Mr. Satan, depending on which dub you're watching, he's basically the Hulk Hogan of Dragon Ball Z. He's a massive sort of celebrity. But Hercule, so in Dragon Ball Z, for those who don't know, you've got like all the powerful characters, like Saiyan characters and aliens for like different worlds and things like that. Hercule is like the most famous person on Earth. He's like a martial artist kind of thing.
but he's soft as shit compared to like everybody else.
Yeah.
But he's like massive hype man. So all the TV news, all the publications and that like make out as if he's like this big, this like the hardest man on the planet kind of thing. He goes to a tournament to fight, gets the shit kicked out of him, just hides behind a rock for almost the entire series. But then he gets the credit for beating like this evil alien that's been in vain called Cell. He gets the credit for it. He's even more famous in the next series. I think he'd just be an absolute great, a great heel.
That would be a great shout, actually.
Great shout. Hogan, but with
class. Brilliant. I know, funnily enough, somebody just messaged in there and said King from Tekken. And,
yeah, he is a wrestler already.
But that's the thing, you see. They've said the reason for that is so that he can come and there can be that match at WrestleMania, apparently, between him and Tiger Mask. So, yeah, fair enough. But no, I think there's some good shouts there. I mean, I think out of the fan lists, I think my favourite's either going to be Tyler Durden from Fight Club, just because of that psychotic kind of character. But I think I really like Mrs. Trunchbull as well.
Yeah.
I think Mrs. Trunchbull would be a great character.
She's got a finisher and everything, hasn't she?
Put them in the chalky?
Yeah.
Oh, no, she does that spinning thing. She does the airplane thing, doesn't she? Yeah.
Pigtail swing.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, Mrs. Trunchbull's mine. Right, Mrs. Trunchbull's getting made as a car on No Mercy later on.
Giant swing.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, speaking of No Mercy, I believe you're the current champion at the moment, Benji, at the Grapple Arcade No Mercy.
Am I? Oh, yeah. I beat John.
Yeah, you did. You beat Mr. John Myers, who was 3-0 until you came along and slapped him about.
Didn't I? Smashed him.
You did indeed. And John's got some... John had some good wins under his belt as well. He had I'm pretty sure he beat Rory. He beat Tom Campbell. And I believe he beat two or three sort of the North Faithful fans as well who came.
Probably beat Stevie as well somewhere.
Yeah, it probably won't be hard though, would it, against Stevie? Because Stevie would just be using some kind of fake rainbow version of it or something.
Be some fake controller or some problem with his controller and he gets beat as well.
Proper Satan Stevie. He got knocked on WrestleFest as well, with the big WrestleFest tournament that we held at NERG this year.
Yeah.
Stevie got beaten that, and he was like, "Oh, the joystick was a bit sticking there." Like,
I didn't see him post that on Facebook.
No, he wouldn't post that because the lad who ended up going on to win the tournament used the same joystick. So you know.
Yeah.
He's just a hype man, Stevie. He's all about
yeah. Beauty.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis, and you're listening to Broken but Glorious.
Have you got any honourable mentions you'd want? Sort of, don't go into detail on characters.
Behind the ones that we've mentioned, yeah.
Yeah, I think Mr. Blonde from Reservoir Dogs, the one played by Michael Madsen, would be a good wrestler. Even though he likes to dance and cut people's ears off and stuff.
That's a good shot.
But Brewer's Beefcake.
I thought Snake from Escape from New York would be a brilliant one as well. Maybe it's luck more than anything else, but he can beat people up.
He's got an eye patch on. I mean, you just punch him from that side.
I also had the entire cast of Made in Chelsea's 90s style jobbers. That would work.
Oh, lovely. Enhancement talent performer artists, I think you call them, Chris.
Thank you very much. Style jobbers. I think they're called enhancement talent these days. But they.
Yeah. Yourself, Shreddy, have you got anybody that that stands out on your list? Any second places? Any that you'd like to bring in?
For the who would make a good wrestler? Lieutenant Sage of Pokemon.
Yes.
Class. That's a class show.
He would be a wrestler if he was if he was in the real world. Definitely Lieutenant Sage coming out of the ring with his Raichu.
Yes.
No, it's a class shout. Well, if we're going to shout computer games, I think I'm going to have to... Oh, but which one? I'm struggling to choose. I'll tell you what, I'll put it out there. Everyone, yous lot can choose which character off this game you think should get on it. Street of Rage. Any of those. Street of Rage 1, 2 or 3. Any of the characters you can choose, who would you pick on to become your tag team partner?
Well, Max is already a wrestler, isn't he?
Yes.
Can't have him.
No.
So, yeah, it's got to be Axel, isn't it? Or Blaze. The one that...
Yeah, it's one of the two.
We haven't picked many women, so I'm going to go with Blaze.
No, that's fair. Absolutely.
She's my choice. Whenever I play Street of Rage 1,
Mine too. Mine too. Blaze. So we've got Blaze and Mrs. Trunchbull have gone through. Yeah, no, I think that's Sham.
Blaze, Mrs. Trunchbull, and Buff the Vampire Slayer would be a good basis for a women's division, I think. So.
Trunchbull would have Buffy in a fight.
Knacker?
Yeah, easy.
Mrs. Trunchbull is your monster of the division. She'd knack everybody.
Just going to throw it out there, but I was always a Final Fight guy over Streets of Rage. So
you're wrong, aren't you? Can we just say Shreddy's wrong on that one? Can we all agree?
I'm going to have to agree, yeah.
I think you're just going to be grass.
Fair enough.
I also did
hang on, we just had a message there. Somebody said if you talk about computer games, Dr. Robotnik. Well, I mean, fucking hell, I mean.
Yeah, there you go.
Can I just put this out there about Dr. Robotnik? Why was he always faster than Sonic?
Yeah, why was he faster? And why did he change his name? Like a divvy?
I'll let that go. But when you were chasing him in Sonic, he was always fast. You could never catch him.
Fair enough. And what's he got against rabbits in the first place?
Yeah.
I don't like this Dr. Robotnik / Eggman.
No, I see Eggman didn't work for me. It was always decided. It has to be Dr. Robotnik.
He doesn't even look like an egg, though, does he?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. But I was kidding. I'm trying to throw this one out there. When I was a kid, the final level on Sonic 1, Scrap Brain Zone, I thought it was called Scrap Brian Zone. So I didn't know any different, and my brother just used to take the piss. But yeah, there we go. So that's that.
I also did a little bit of research on fictional characters that have actually been in wrestling through the years. We've got the obvious ones like Zeus from No Holds Barred. He headlined WrestleMania against Hulk Hogan, Bruce Beefcake, and RoboCop, WCW.
But
in 1969, Batman won the WWF Intercontinental Tag Team Championships with Bruno Sammartino.
Really? You ever seen where Superman gets beat up by Antonio Rocco?
Yeah.
Throws him all over.
Yeah. Dennis Hackens, who plays Mr. Belding, and Saved by the Bell, is a huge wrestling fan. And he's competed in an 8-man tag in the past, and as Mr. Belding, and he also manages a team who dress up as Zack and Slater, called the Bayside Tigers. promotion in Japan called the world's longest name, the Wrestling International New Generations, and they do a.
I love it.
The hardcore division is basically just famous copyright to horror characters like Freddy and Michael Myers, and they just have dreadful horror-inspired hardcore matches.
Well, there was Toxic Avenger, wasn't he? He was tag team champions.
Yeah.
On a promotion with his creator.
Well, they used Leatherface was in King of the Deathmatches, wasn't he, as well?
Yeah, but didn't he wrestle poorly?
Yeah, I know. Leatherface
versus Cactus Jack. That's a dream match, isn't it?
Isn't it just... But I was just thinking there as well, obviously you had Randy Savage's Bonesaw and Spider-Man, slightly different sort of take on the question, but
a wrestler, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a wrestler playing a pretend wrestler in a film that's got nothing to do with wrestling.
Yes. Yeah. Did you see, was it What Culture did a proper review of that match as if it was a real match?
No, I didn't see that. Check it out.
Yeah, it's really good. The podcast did release on a Friday. I can't remember what it's called. Yeah, but anyway, before we go, have you lads got anything you want to promote? Any upcoming shows you want to promote? Your social media?
We've got North Wrestling on September the 14th. That's the next time that they're on. And then,
oh my gosh, it's called. Also, that date is my birthday as well, so if anyone wants to bring me a birthday present, then I'll be happy with that.
Aww. I'll bring you a beer, Dean. Are you allowed in? Brilliant,
but,
yeah.
Social media for me, Instagram, Twitter is Shreddy Breck Gym. Facebook, I'm on there, so I think it's / Shreddy Breck LOL. And yeah, that's pretty much all my social media.
Yeah, all mine are at Wrestler Benji. That's all of them.
Wonderful stuff. Yeah. And you both had the next show as well, yeah? Has that been announced that you're both going to be there, obviously?
Yeah, I've got a The Landed Gentry versus Club Tropicana.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
That'll be a class match, that, yeah.
Versus NXT UK's Primates in a hardcore match.
Yeah, it's your rematch, isn't it, mate? As I mentioned before. Brilliant stuff. Well, I can't wait for that. I know there's myself and a couple of other lads are going there. We won't be doing an after party for that one. And the reason being that Poplars has closed down. But we'll be looking at other things. We'll be doing some bits and bobs with North soon. So, yeah, I mean, other than that, we're going to be doing our AEW live pay-per-view event with our pals at Hooked on Wrestling at Aspers Casino in Newcastle on August the 31st. So if you want to check out Grapple Arcade's Twitter, I'll pin the tweet tonight that you can find where you can buy tickets directly for the show. It should be cracking. We'll have a few available on the door, but I'll be very honest, they have been selling out a lot faster than other pay-per-views that we've done recently have been. SummerSlam, was reasonable turnout. We already sold like twice as many tickets for AEW. That's all I can say on the matter, really. So it's going to be a busy one. It's going to be fun. We'll be doing some wrestling bits and bobs there. We're going to be working closely with our good friends at powerslam.tv, who are an online media. They're basically like an online streaming service for tons and tons and tons. I think they've got about 140 promotions now. Is that right, Chris? 140 promotions or something like that.
I can read my blurb about it if you want.
So. Yeah.
So we have a partnership with powerslam.tv. Where you can get a month's free subscription.
if you use
the promo code Broken Free.
We're going to be showing powerslam.tv with certain different indie wrestling promotions from around the world. We're going to be using that as the sort of the build, if you like, to the pre-show at AEW. So anyway, it's going to be a great night, quiz as per usual, and probably selection of wrestling retro games as well.
According to this, we've got currently have 145 promotions across 20 different countries.
It's doing good.
Yes, including podcast favourites Riptide and North, plus Indeed. Progress, Evolve, Shine, dozens of other ones. Yeah, that promo code again, if you want a month's free access, is Broken Free, all one word.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Really enjoyed speaking to you both today. I'd love to have you on again in the future. If you enjoy our show, follow us on Twitter, at BBGWpod. Check out our website, brokenbutglorious.com.
And obviously check out our mothership Twitter handle now as well, BBGW Network.
Good night.
Good night.